ghost stories. Do all sorts of ghostly things. Talk local legends. And some ghost hunting. Stories we hope to live to.
To another episode of Who's Ghost Stories. I am your host, Reiki Master and Medium, Andrew Huzar of Huzar Reiki and Readings. We have paranormal enthusiast and cryptid expert, Professor Alex Wheaton, and of course, our everyday normal guy, Cap'n Tyler. So, we're continuing our cryptid specials here, and we've got a very exciting one on topic today, one that I would say is both well known and not known at all. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're outside of Pennsylvania, you've probably never heard of this thing. So I'm excited, especially if Tyler's never heard of this. This is definitely a fun one. But as always, make sure you are using the link tree in the descriptions to find all of these social medias. You can send me messages on there. You can give me feedback for episodes. You can send emails to whosar.reiki@gmail.com. In the link tree, you'll also find our merch store on Etsy, everywhere the podcast is available. In case you're tired of Spotify and YouTube, you can find it on Podfiend and 8,000 other places, basically, that I've never heard of. So check all of them out. Make sure, as well, you're going to paranormalitymagazine.com to at least vote for us in the top 10 paranormal poll. You can also use our link and code Who's Ghost or Who's Ghost 10 to sign up for the print or digital subscriptions to get yourself some cool magazines. And as I showed Alex last time, each magazine now comes with a bonus artwork page that you can make a scroll with. You can frame it. If you ever see us in person, you can have us autograph it, even though we have nothing to do with this. Whatever you want. And of course, as I mentioned last time, we are officially affiliates for Ghost Stop Paranormal Equipment. If you're ever interested in any paranormal investigations, they make some phenomenal equipment that you can go check out, purchase, use our link so they know that, hey, our people like us enough to go shop through them. You can even buy us equipment if you want. Feel free to check it out. Hopefully they see what we're saying about them and they like it enough to send us a free ovilus. Still don't know if they will, but I'm going to keep pushing it into the universe until one day I get a package and I open it up and it's either a ovilus or a cease and desist. Whichever one, I'll take.
That was good.
I know, it took me by surprise. All right. Without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in to today's topic. Clinton County is one of Pennsylvania's most interesting counties, but not for the reasons you'd think of. That's because Clinton County has an official monster. Picture yourself hiking down one of the area's hiking trails. You've been at it for some time now and stopped to take a break. After taking a drink, you look down the trail and notice a strange creature. You've never seen anything like it, and before you know it, it's gone. Let me introduce you to the Gwoggle, Clinton County's official monster. Legends about the Gwoggle go all the way back to the 1800s. The Gwoggle is described as a mishmash of multiple animals. The base for this creature is a wolf. However, it walks around on two legs. It has two paws for hands with razor-sharp claws and two hooves that it walks around on. Gwoggle experts say the wolf-like head and long, sharp claws make it dangerous, while the hooves make it difficult to track. Its supposed origin is nearly as interesting as its appearance.
Two legends say the Gwoggle isn't a natural animal. It's a creature that was conjured of a coven of witches. Locals say that a nearby farmer offended the witches. To get revenge, they conjured the Gwoggle. The Gwoggle was then dispatched to take their revenge. However, despite its appearance, the Gwoggle wasn't violent. The farmer woke up to trampled crops, terrified livestock, damaged tools, and tracks all around the property. This soon became the norm for anyone that offended the coven. Enter Isaiah Gaines, also known as Loop Hill Ike. Isaac was known throughout the area as a monster hunter and early paranormal investigator. He was known to deal with ghosts, witches, demons, and monsters of any sort. Whether the witches had gone too far or the farmers just had enough, Isaac was called in to put a stop to the Gwoggles. Isaac would do so one of two ways. His first option, if the spell was weak enough, was to simply counter the witch's spell. Locals believed that this would cause the Gwoggles to return to the realm they belonged. If the spell was too strong, then Isaac would burn the witch's cabin to the ground. However, locals would often notice this would only scare off the Gwoggles. The creatures would still be found roaming the forest. It didn't take long until Isaac was known as a specialist in ridding towns of their Gwoggle problems. He would travel the area, reversing curses and burning down cabins, until his death in 1915, that is.
Isaac is buried in Forest McGonagall Cemetery in Clearfield County, which gives us one more twist. Locals and visitors passing through have reported many strange creature sightings. All these creatures are said to look like large bipedal wolves. Some people say that they are the dogmen of Pennsylvania, or werewolves. Others say they resemble the Gwoggles. Are these Gwoggles or something else? Are the dogmen of Pennsylvania actually Gwoggles or the descendants of Gwoggles? We don't know the answer to these questions, but it's interesting that there are so many monsters living near the cemetery of this once famous monster hunter.
So, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here, Tyler, so you can see a nice artist rendition of the Gwoggle.
I can tell it's going to be the same one I Googled, and wow, is it non-threatening?
Probably, because there's really only one famous rendition of the Gwoggle.
Yep, that's it.
So, I love the Gwoggle because it looks like a monster. Like, it looks like, you know, a creature feature, like he's going to tear you apart with his claws and feast on your liver.
Yeah. But he has the eyes of just a little puppy dog.
And that's pretty much the demeanor he has, is a puppy dog. Like, all, there has never been, from the research I found, a single Gwoggle attack on a person.
It doesn't sound like it attacks anything. It just scares the shit out of the house.
Yeah, that's literally all it does, which I think is amazing. That it's just, we have this cryptid that has the physical tools to be a threat, but it's just like a mischievous little bastard.
Yeah.
It is like, it's almost like the leprechaun from the Leprechaun movies. Like, it's more, he was a murderous little shit, but like more of like that nuisance and mischievousness, like where he just wants to mess with you more than he does want to eat you. Which I want to point out right there helps prove that not all witches are bad witches, people. If those witches were evil, this Gawaggle would have eaten everybody in town.
Or it's a failed science experiment.
It could be a failed science experiment. So, Tyler, as our resident Nyaka, what are your first thoughts here on the Gawaggle?
Was that offensive?
No.
Nyaka? No.
Nyaka.
Sounds like a paranormal slur, friend. My first impressions is just another local yokel cryptid, kind of like the squonk that Pennsylvanians create out of nowhere. He's kind of like a mammal squonk, except he doesn't dissolve in his own tears.
So, I'm going to come back to you in a second. Alex, what are your thoughts on the Gawaggle?
I love the Gawaggle. And it's not just because one of my all-time favorite cryptid creatures is werewolves, and it's very closely associated with them. But I love the mischievousness because, think about it from the story aspect. A coven of witches wanted to get revenge, and instead of it being like this thing that absolutely like murders people or eats livestock like the chupacabra, no, it tramples your crops, it scares your cattle and your livestock, and it's like it's the ultimate just kind of like little trickster thing. And as someone who has some level of actual education in literature and mythology, this is very much like a very classic story, and it's kind of cool, and I like that stuff. So I absolutely love the Gawaggle, and Tyler definitely said it best when he said, if it's the thing that I Googled, that thing is not terrifying at all. Yeah, it's absolutely goofy, and if I saw this thing in real life, I think my first response would be first shock because, oh my gosh, I see this thing in front of me, but the second would probably be like either giggling or going, oh, that's so cute. Like, I don't think I'd be like, oh god, it's the Gawaggle.
Yeah,
I think I'd just more like be like, it's the Gawaggle.
Yeah, because like,
come on, boop his snoot.
Yeah, yes. You want to play with it. They always mention like it's got these razor sharp claws and the head of a wolf, but then like it's got the bunny, it's got a body of like a bunny with like its fluffy body and hooves, and then like everything always like, but it doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about which. Oh.
So, you're both smarter than me in your ways. One thing I left out of here because I don't know how to take it. So I want to get both of your perspectives on it.
Oh, nice. Love surprises.
Every legend and every version of this tale has a specific detail across all of them. Mostly they're the same, beat for beat. Farmer offends coven. Coven summons thing. Gawaggle goes out, does its stuff. But the farmers always find their cows doing something out of fear. It says the cows are so afraid that they're found in the cornfield trying to smoke the corn. Now, in my head, I'm like, maybe the cows were trying to eat the corn and it looked like they were smoking, but I don't know. So, Tyler, you've got that down-to-earth, manly man, outdoorsy knowledge. What the hell does it mean that cows are trying to smoke corn?
I think it means they're just eating corn. I mean, how? So seriously, my first thought was like, farmer goes outside and you see a cow trying to like light up with its non-opposable thumbs. Shit. Fucking cats. God damn it.
It's the big
Yeah, Jesus Christ, Harry. Just jump the fucking computer screen. Yeah, so I think, I think it's downright ridiculous how something that quadrupedal, who's never been known to stand on two legs or, would try and smoke corn. I think, like you said, it was just more of like eating corn in a very weird way that maybe
Yeah.
resembled smoking. Harry.
That's what I was thinking. Now, college professor, someone tells you my cows were smoking corn. What is happening?
I have to confer with Tyler on this one. All I can see is like cliche cigar, like hanging out the side of the mouth, big old stogie, but it's a corn cob. That makes sense. Now, let me throw this out there, and it's just based off of what you said, and no research, no thought done on this. What if the Gawoggle is actually an extraterrestrial or interdimensional being?
It definitely could be. Could
And
be.
let's say its way of transportation causes some kind of fire or singeing.
All right.
Maybe the cows in running ran into the cornfields and some of the corn was literally lit up on fire a little bit, or at least singed a little,
Smoldering.
smoldering, and then therefore a cow would be smoking corn.
That could be. All right,
That's just
that
completely
would be a
off the wall, no research done on this, but just a that's the writer in me saying that would be how I'd have a cow smoking corn, is have the cobs be at least smoldering and the cows, for whatever reason, going against instinct, chewing on it and making it look definitely like a cigar at that point.
All right, so I like all of our theories here. So there's the, the obvious. So either way, cows were scared into the cornfield.
Yes.
They were frightened out of their panic into the cornfield, which if their fence was broken and this thing's walking around, going to the cornfield, and these cows are either munching on it like a cigar, so it's hanging out of their mouth, and the farmer's like, well, the thing scared them so bad that it had to smoke the corn. Or part of the cornfield was fire smoldering. Cows are sitting there, and the farmer is thinking, well, I never seen that before. Or the cows got into the farmer's tobacco supply and had stogies in their mouth in the cornfield.
The cows are so scared they had to get out for a stick of cob and light up.
That's always part of it. Whenever, I was researching and I came across the multiple sources for this, it was always, and get this, the cows were so afraid they were smoking corn. The farmer found his cows smoking corn. And it's like, all right, what are we talking about?
It's random.
And I didn't know, like, if they just missaw something, if they interpreted it, or like if there was some backwoods slang that I did not know.
I would love to like go down to Clinton County, Pennsylvania, the local library, and do some research on a goddamn goggle making cows smoke corn, and like see some old timer, reference or something about why in the world that was even mentioned.
Why that came up?
Yeah, like
Why
the yeah the one.
it just wasn't they were scared of the corn.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, they're scared of the cornfield. They couldn't leave it at that. It's like, oh no, they started smoking the corn cobs.
Get this, the cows were so afraid I found them smoking corn.
Are they just ripping off Frosty the Snowman? Corn cob pipe?
The Gawoggle started as a song.
Frosty the Snowman was a cryptid.
Well, we're getting somewhere now.
The Christmas cryptid? I sense a
The
new series
Christmas
coming.
cryptid.
I sense a new series coming starting around the day after Thanksgiving.
So,
These are so much fun.
the thing. I The other thing that like I love thinking about too is that so many people were pissing off the witches that they kept making more gawoggles, apparently. Like, they didn't just get rid of their one goggle, the gawoggle. They didn't do anything. Like, they just kept making more gawoggles to go mess with the farmers, like a bad Rick and Morty episode. And they just kept sending them out to do their bidding just to keep messing with the farmers. And, like, the farmers had enough, and they call in a monster hunter in Loophill Ike, and they're like, can you just get rid of these?
You know what I find weird, too? Is, like, the anger the witches got, don't you think, like, the more aggressive they would have made the goggle? Like, all right, that's it. This is something else. We went on for 6 months. These things are out for blood now.
I mean,
a change
conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom would tell you yes, because, like, you know, like, they get angry, like, they're not stopping messing with us, so let's get worse. But, like, yeah. It's almost like the witches were like, if somebody dies, or if there's bloodshed, you know, they're gonna come burn us at the stake. But, if we just, you know, trample their crops, scratch up their barns and stuff, nobody's gonna try to kill us.
Okay, that's right. I didn't think about that. That's fair. No harm, no foul type of situation.
Yeah. No, like, blood, no foul. Oh, these witches did it. And it's like, maybe at the time they didn't realize it was the witches. Maybe like that was like an afterthought, like Loophill Ike found out.
Oh, and they're just, yeah, okay, could be.
And I got a couple thoughts on Loophill Ike.
I have questions about Loophill Ike.
Before I go further into Loophill Ike, Alex was kind enough to draw what the farmers saw that day.
Wow. You just drew this? Right.
Yes, just drew the cow smoking corn.
That's good.
Thank you.
Not just an enthusiast, he is an art enthusiast as well.
I guess so. All the time it took me to make a cup pot of coffee. That's what I come back to.
This is the quality you can expect from Who's Ghost Stories when it comes to cryptids, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So, back to Loophill Ike. So I got a couple thoughts. He could be a legitimate paranormal person, monster hunter. You know, people like that have always existed and always will exist. No problem there. But the other thing that gets me thinking is the fact that it talks about he had two ways of getting rid of the goggles. The first is he would try reversing the curse. But if it was somehow too strong, he would burn the cabin down to scare the goggle away. To me, that gets me thinking, like, you know, was he really a true paranormal person and monster hunter? Or was he a guy that was just be like, pay me for the curse reversal. Ah, didn't work. Now you got to pay me to burn the cabin down.
Oh, yeah. He's working for the witches.
Because, I mean, burn their cabin down, they get to move to a new town. He splits the money with them. Gawoggle runs off.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's problem gets solved, but, I mean, Loophill Ike, is he what we think he is?
Well, so here's what... So, Google Loophill right here. And this is what doesn't make sense. He would try to counteract the spells, like we said. And if that didn't work, he would grab a shotgun... Go to the witch's cabin and burn it down. Huh? How are you going to burn something out with a shotgun, friend? Seems like that items list needs to be a little longer than, you know, gunpowder.
You know, I'm thinking that might be part of the show. Like, I'm going to go deal with this myself and grab the shotgun, run out there. He comes back. I had to burn the cabin down.
Yeah. And now we're taking some insurance money and getting out with our lives.
So, Alex, as a college professor and English major and just a literary expert and a fan of history and cryptids, what do you got going on in your head about Loophill Ike?
So, I'm glad we were kind of going down this road, because before Tyler went to get his coffee, I actually was Googling Loophill Ike myself, and he's got some very interesting other stories he's connected to. He was a Civil War draft dodger.
All right.
So he refused to fight in the Civil War and ran away and changed his name at different places. He's connected to, obviously, the Gewoggles, but he's also connected to the Swamp Angel. He also dealt with this weird disembodied sneezing sound that was actually a skeleton that then haunted him. He has some interesting stories about him. And from a story standpoint, he sounds like a classic folklore hero. What I think is interesting is this is his stories, I want to say, predate Van Helsing. I need to double check.
Because it would have been when Bram Stoker wrote Dracula?
Yes. And that's why I'm like...
It'll be close because he died in 1915.
Huh.
And that's why I'm wondering. 1897 was when the Dracula was written. And that's where we got our official... monster hunter in popular literary practices. So not that they didn't exist beforehand, but they weren't iconic. And the fact that Lupil Ike has that kind of following and is around that same time is interesting. It leads me to believe, I mean, we know that what's his actual name? Isaac Gaines. We know that he existed because he has a cemetery plot.
Yep.
And he had that story around him. So I definitely want to think that he might have been a con man rather than an actual monster hunter. Simply because, well, it makes the money.
Yeah.
So... The fact, yeah, the let's immediately go to burning down the house and not solving the problem. That's the classic bait and switch. You're like, yeah, I can take care of this. And then you're like, yeah, I'm not taking care of this. And you do something else and be like, well, it didn't work. It's a classic bait and switch. So, yeah, I don't know.
And, like, it makes perfect sense if he was a conman that, like, it could still work because we know the Gewoggle's not violent.
Yeah.
So if this guy comes in with a shotgun and just is burning down a cabin, it's going to chase off a Gewoggle.
It's going to chase off a lot of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's not hard to be like, hey, Gewoggle, running away.
Yeah.
From Lupil Ike. So, I mean, like I said, could go either way, for sure. Like, there's some discrepancies in Lupil Ike's and some curiosities here with old Ike. I love the idea of Pennsylvania's own, like, Van Helsing and Monster Hunter, though.
Yes.
Like, that is so freaking cool.
Yes.
Think about this. Now, what if Lupil Ike, being this draft-dodging, you know, rambling type of guy, right? What if he was just burning down these cabins on accident? Like, every time was just a fuck-up. And everyone... It was just like this misconstrued story where everyone in the town was like, all right, Ike, like, yeah, you burned it down. Yeah, I had to, you know? That Gewoggle bastard was, you know, he kind of flipped it on his own self to, you know, make it seem like he was playing a hero.
Oh, my God.
When it said he was, like, burning down cabin after cabin.
I love it. Oh, my God. Here we go. This is the setup. Lupil Ike. Yep. Damn it. I couldn't reverse the curse. I'm going to go take care of it, though. Stalks his way to Witch's cabin, kicks the door in with his shotgun. He goes inside, checks the room, nothing, turns around, Gewoggle in there. Gewoggle goes, ah! Lupil Ike goes, ah! And he knocks over like an oil lamp, sets the cabin on fire. Gewoggle runs away. He runs away. Back into town, he walks in like Gaston.
Yeah, exactly. And in the meantime, in the back, he's like, oh, shit, burnt another one.
And the witches are just like, what keeps happening to all of our houses?
Yeah. I did find a book on Amazon, though, The Legend of Loophill Ike by Bees O'Brien.
Yeah. I want to check it out myself.
I think we're going to have to do like a full episode breakdown of Loophill Ike here.
Oh,
dive
yeah.
Dive into all of his stories as a ghost hunter, monster hunter,
draft dodger.
I also want to point out that I love that the author of that book is Bees O'Brien.
Yeah, that's right. I was so like, oh, well, that's okay. And I looked at him, I'm like, oh, that's two E's. That's Bees. Whole different series on like cryptids and the people who make them, or the people who, you know, the background characters of these stories.
So, I'm going to start off here with Alex. With the Gawoggle, and we're going to kind of make it a two-part question here, and the fact that monsters are being seen around Loophill Ike's grave. What do you think's going on with the Gawoggle now? Do you think the Gawoggles have just kind of, I don't know, migrated to that area, and that's why they're seen all around Loophill Ike's grave? Do you think maybe instead of being a monster hunter, he was collecting the Gawoggles as pets, and like that's just their home now? Like, what do you think's going on here? It's a two-parter. What do you think the Gawoggle is doing now, and what do you think's happening around Loophill Ike's grave?
So, I think if the Gawoggle exists, that adorable little bastard is just hanging out in the woods. I didn't get a good look at his cemetery and like how much woods is nearby, but I imagine there's a decent amount of these creatures have been sighted there. So, I think they're just living their best life. As far as why the heck all around Loophill Ike, whether he actually hunted creatures or whatever, he's got a connection to them. And let's be honest, if you piss off a creature, you piss off a witch, or you piss off like something with some kind of paranormal connection, it's not leaving you alone. So I definitely think whether he actually was a Gawoggle and monster hunter or not, they're gonna stay around where he is and just kind of, you know, poke the bear, torment him for all eternity, just be like, "Huh, we're here."
Tyler, I'm gonna shoot it over to you. Same two-parter. What do you think's going on with the Gawoggle today, and what's happening with Loophill Ike's gravesite there?
So, I think the Gawoggle is just kind of, you know, kind of piggybacking on what Alex said. Just kind of chilling in the woods, doing their own thing, you know, still being mischievous. Maybe known for lesser crimes nowadays with farmers. Like maybe anytime you hear something about in rural PA about something wrong with some livestock, maybe it's at the Gawoggle's hands, you know. And maybe just a little less severe crimes. And old Loophill, I think he's I don't know. I think he's just, you know, kind of sitting there getting poked around by Gawoggles. Getting, you know, he's just staring at their big old puppy dog eyes for the rest of eternity.
Yep. I like the ideas. And I don't know off the top of my head when the last Gawoggle sighting was, or like how often they're seen. Obviously, it's the official monster of Clinton County. I do think there have been sightings throughout time. But I agree. I think, you know, the Gawoggles, since it was never a violent cryptid and it was never really tied to anything specifically besides, like, you know, doing the witches' bidding, if it's real, like, it's just existing out in the woods. And it never sounds like there was a whole lot of them. So, you know, if they did exist, you know, it is possible that they died out or something.
Well,
but like, I really like that it has the hooves. So any hoofed footprint you see
A hall.
Could be a deer, could be anything, a sheep, a cow, could be a gowoggle. There's always that little bit of doubt, especially if it's near something that just happened to a farmer's property. You know, crop circles, there's a hoof nearby. That was a flight of gowoggles right there. Yeah. And I do like what you said, too, thinking that they could, what if it's an extraterrestrial? You know, what if it was an early alien coming down, you know? Could be crop circles now, too. They're in question. And with Loophill Ike, like you said, if somebody's that tied into the paranormal and monster hunting, they're going to find their way to the grave and they're going to be attracted to there.
Yeah.
And I like to think in my headcanon that maybe like he did pseudo adopt gowoggles as pets. Like maybe like he couldn't chase them off. And he's like, well, we got to get rid of them. So, like, he just started attracting them to him, like the Pied Piper and the rats. He's just, wherever he goes, he has a series of gowoggles in the woods behind. Maybe he was the witch that conjured the gowoggle, and he's just bringing it town to get a payday.
Yeah?
That's definitely something draft dodgers will do.
So, what does the gowoggle sound like? Because we didn't really discuss that. I didn't see that anywhere.
I think it's a... like a seductive Chewbacca. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking it is.
All it says is gowoggle. I can't really say anything else. And it's noise.
It's a Pokemon.
Gowoggle, gowoggle.
Yeah,
exactly. Gowoggle. I love this legend. And like... this is a cryptid. It is hard to believe is still out there, but when you tie in all the monster sightings around Loophill Ike's grave and the possible connection to like dogmen and werewolves, things like that, it does bring it a little more to plausibility, or like even wondering like, was the gowoggle a different monster or cryptid all along that was misidentified? And, like, the story was just tacked on to try to give it an explanation? Or, you know, did Loophill Ike have his own creature pet that he was bringing around? Before, you know?
And he was just scare him off. And then if the witches tried to, you know, mess with the gowoggles, he'd burn their cabins down.
Yeah. The whole story is flipped on its head.
Gowoggle cryptid, so, messed up pet.
Before we move on to something, Alex, what are your final thoughts on the gowoggle?
I love it. I absolutely love it, especially the like the image that you shared. Like that famous image is so goofy. I love the gowoggle. I love the legend, and the more that we've talked about it today, the more interested I am, not in the gowoggle itself, but in Loophill Ike. I want to know more about his other stories, because the gowoggle is just such a goofy kind of part. I want to see more of Loophill Ike rather than hearing more about gowoggle, because let's leave the gowoggle alone. He's just a cutie.
I like it. Tyler, what are your final thoughts on it?
It's a fun little cryptid story. I kind of agree with Alex. I want to know more about this Ike character, you know, think about his background and, you know, how shady he is, because the gowoggles are adorable. I'd like a little more concrete background story, you know, with the witches and, you know, going with that first original story, not the ones we conjured and made up. But that original story, like, you know, get a little more background on how, why, you know, some more cause and effect of the god, the creation.
I agree. I love the story of the gowoggle. I love that it is the official monster of a county. Like, that's just mind-boggling that that passed and voted on, and everyone does it. And I just love that the gowoggle is just a mischievous creature. Like, its whole purpose is just to mess with people. And then we got a Pennsylvania monster hunter mix in. It's just all amazing, and I love it. And I hope the gowoggle is real, because, you know, this is a creature that definitely could pop up in our Cryptid Royale. This is, you know,
absolutely.
Feet of a goat, head and arms of a wolf. Like, we got a interesting creature here. But, gentlemen, I want to play a game.
Oh.
Is what I did is, you know, there's often a lot of debating over the best cryptid and the greatest cryptid of all time. So I decided that we would be the official judges.
Oh, God.
Let's go. I created for us a bracket.
Okay.
So, gentlemen, I bring you to the best cryptid of all time via bracket fight.
Oh, nice. Cryptid Battle Royale goes on the headline Cryptid Mania.
Yep. Now, I shuffled the seating to random because when I entered it, I didn't want that to be, you know, the thoughts here. And I'm really excited for this. So what we're going to do, we're each going to get a vote, each matchup. So that way there's no ties.
Okay.
And we're just going to vote on who we think the best cryptid is between those two. Your criteria can be whatever you want. You can explain yourself as deep as you want. You can don't have to explain yourself at all. If you just think one looks cooler than the other, that's it. Whatever you want to do, we're going to get into it, and we're going to decide once and for all who the greatest cryptid is.
Nice.
What is presentation mode?
We'll find out here in a second.
Oh, here we go. We're getting big screen. So this is a look here. There we go. Pops up here. So the first matchup is the Chupacabra. He's gone. I'll wait for him to come back.
Chupanibre.
You know, it was really fun finding pictures for all these things. I'm not going to lie. Definitely some interesting pictures, you know, and internet searches.
Oh, guaranteed.
I had to do.
I've done some research on Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty the Christmas Cryptid. I mean, we're going to have to redo another bracket next year with just him and whoever wins this one.
I know.
Oh. Frosty Rudolph and the Grinch going at it. A triple cryptid match.
There we go. We're going to make a Christmas cryptid bracket next. But, Tyler. First matchup, round. Oh, by the way, I think is what they do with these brackets is they complete an entire side before doing the matchups on the other one.
Okay.
But round one, first matchup, Chupacabra versus the Lake Erie Monster, Bessie.
Bessie all day. Give it to me.
All right, we're going to go Tyler with his first vote with Bessie. Alex. This is a tough one for you.
It is.
This is a tough one.
I got to go Chupacabra.
Nah.
All right. So I get the first tiebreaker here. Alex knows that as a kid, I loved the Chupacabra as well. Just the mythos, the story, everything about it's amazing. But I think I got to go Bessie here. Little hometown pride, maybe.
Let's go.
But maybe the episode we did on Bessie last year.
I know. That's...
I'm going to give it to Bessie. So round one, Bessie moves on.
Bessie.
All right. We've got the Waterford Sheepman and the Irish Giant Otter, known as Dabu Chu, a.k.a. the Water Dog.
So assuming the Giant Otter is the one in water, right?
Yep. The black and white one.
Okay. What was the other one?
The Waterford Sheepman, not too far here from Erie.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. Where's the otter from?
He's in Ireland.
Oh.
He's Irish.
Yeah, I'm going to go with home. I mean, not home. No. Not for me. But podcast hometown pride. I'm going to go with the Waterford Sheepdog Man thing.
All right. I'm going to go next here, Alex. I'm going the water dog, the giant otter. We're going to do an episode on the sheep man eventually. But, I mean, I love otters. You're giving me a giant otter that rules the waters in Ireland. I'm sorry, sheep man. I'm gonna go away from hometown pride here. I'm gonna go giant otter.
As someone who hometown pride, but also lived in Ireland for 3 months, I gotta give it to the Irish water dog. Just look at that image. That image is what sold me on it. I can't help it. It got me too much.
And this is a cryptid I haven't heard much about either, so it's kind of like. And I hadn't heard much of the Waterford Sheepman either till I was like, should we do an episode on him? We've got the Abominable Snowman Yeti versus the Squonk. Tyler, I'm gonna kick it off to you first here again. Who do you vote for in this epic clash of cryptids that can't be any different?
Not that hard. I mean, as far as like humor goes, you gotta go Squonk. But I'm going based solely on cryptid, legend, folklore. I'm going with the Yeti. Sorry, Squonker. I can't do it.
Squonker. Alex, I'm gonna throw it to you here.
I gotta double down. It's Yeti all the way. Sorry, Squonks. We love you. Clearly we love you. We had a lot of fun with our episode, but it has to go to the Yeti.
I 100% agree. It's a three-way unanimous vote for the Yeti.
He said we didn't even vote for him. Look at that photo. He's crying already.
He knew he wasn't getting it.
Yeah, he's not getting any votes. It's, I mean,
we love you, Squonk.
We'll see if there's any matchups the Squonk could win. I think there's one later on, but we'll see. But, I mean, this is an uphill battle for the Squonk against anybody. I mean,
yeah,
a wrinkly pig guy is...
dissolves in his own tears.
Yeah, he's not cutting it. Yeti moves on. We got the Loveland Frogman and the Jersey Devil.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
So, Tyler, if you've never heard of the Loveland Frogman, it's literally a frog the size of a man.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, like a 5-foot frog. That is it. And,
So what's
the Jersey Devil?
What's he do here?
The Jersey Devil?
No, the Frogman.
He just is a frog. He just lives as a frog. He's
just giant.
He's never attacked anybody. He's never done anything. He just, if you go to Loveland, Ohio, you'll see the Frogman.
Huh. New Jersey Devil. That's pretty lame.
All right, one for the devil.
That's kind of like, I mean,
you know,
if you're a 5-foot fucking frog, at least like put some thought into the story, not just like, Dad, if he lives in the Loveland swamp and eats flies just like any other frog and, you know, he does froggy things. At least the Jersey Devil, there's some bath.
What the image here of the Loveland frog is showing is its first encounter where a couple of state troopers were driving near Loveland, Ohio, and in their lights, they saw this 4 to 5 foot frog jumping over the guardrail. And that's what's the Loveland frog. So we got one vote, Jersey Devil. Alex, do you want to go next? Or do you want to go last?
You go next.
So I am torn here.
That's why I'm one.
Jersey Devil is iconic. Jersey Devil is cool. But I mean, being so close to Ohio, like, the Frogman is just hilariously stupid. I think I'm actually gonna go Loveland Frogman here.
Really?
I keep looking at that goofy ass picture. Like, it's a 4-foot frog, looks like he's doing the samba. Like,
well, yeah, you could have said the same thing about Squonker, too.
You know, this is a matchup I think the Squonk could have won.
Absolutely.
I think Squonk could take the frog, man.
1,000% go over dissolving, suicidal, dissolving its own tears, pig looking weird, you know, beanbag. Yeah.
This is,
But yeah, we'll go. I'll go Frogman. I'll give him a little bit of love. Alex, no wrong pick for you.
I know.
Who's moving on?
So I want to emphasize this. I love that image of the Jersey Devil. But if you had used the traditional historic image of the Jersey Devil, it's a one-sided fight. Because the historic image of the Jersey Devil is so goofy and so dumb that I'd have to give it to the Frogman 100%. Now,
I had to give the Devil a fighting chance.
You did have to give him a fighting chance, and that's what makes this hard. Because, yeah, he is a famous cryptid. Like, you could be from the other side of the United States and you've heard of the Jersey Devil.
Yep.
Like, he's got that popularity, and so I unfortunately for overall best cryptid between those two, like, as much as I love the Frogman, he is one of my all-time favorites. I have to give it to the Jersey Devil because he has that kind of popularity. I gotta give it to him.
Yeah, I can't be mad on Frogman losing out here.
He's so fantastic.
Ooh, okay. Bessie versus the giant otter. Does anyone want to volunteer to go first? New round. You know what? I'll go first here.
Okay.
This is, you know, we're still talking about the giant otter. Like, this is Erie Otters. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the Irish otter. But it's still such a cool legend and mythos. Bessie. Oh, God almighty.
Is Loch Ness in Ireland? Or is that, like, Scotland?
Scotland.
Ah, okay, so I can't even say, like, you know, that the Irish version of its own country's cryptid thing.
This is hard. This is really, really hard. Fudge Nellies.
I'll go first.
Yeah,
so you can think. I'm going to give it, much like my logic for the Jersey Devil, I'm going to give it to the Lake Erie Monster, only because Bessie is at least, like, well known in this area, whereas I lived in Ireland, and I didn't even hear about this myth until today. So it's not super well known. I definitely think that we should cover some lesser known cryptids from around the world. So hopefully we get to see this otter again. But yeah, my vote is for Lake Erie Monster Bessie.
You make a good point. You know, I don't know much about this giant otter.
I love it.
I love it too. Maybe if I knew more, it would feel like a bigger threat. But I think at the end of the day, I think I'm going to go Bessie too. Tyler, I know it's 2-0 Bessie here, but what would you vote?
Get out the brooms, boys. It's a clean sweep. Going Bessie. I don't think that I understand the chance in the depths of Lake Erie against Bessie, and being a nautical man, I just, you know, Bessie tugs my heartstring, you know, close to Erie, you know, without giving away my undisclosed location. I also call the banks of Lake Erie home, so maybe there's a chance old Bessie stops by the old, South by the old hometown over here, outside of the big city. So, but yeah, I'm biased, being a nautical man, nautical lover, and lover of all things nautical. I'm going to Bessie. Clean sweep.
Bessie, baby, moving on, which leads us to the Yeti and Jersey Devil.
I will gladly take this one first. Yeah. Yeti. I have no other explanation, argument. Yeti is my vote.
Same. Yeti. All day. Big fan of his coolers, you know. So, actually, Yeti. There you go, buddy. Drinking out of one right meow.
And you might as well keep the brooms out because it's another clean sweep. Sorry, Jersey Devil. It's Yeti. He's iconic. He's
Yeti's
cool.
International.
International. It's just
worldwide.
Yeah. All right. Which brings us to a semifinals, fellas. Bessie and the Yeti.
Oh no.
And I will gladly take the first controversial vote on this one.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Oh, this is terrible.
Bessie is my love. Bessie is my hometown hero area, but Yeti inches out just slightly for me for as far as best cryptid, and we're putting that in air quotes because I don't know what our definition for best is because we haven't seen the other half of that. So Yeti for me is my vote.
Tyler.
I don't know.
You want me to go first?
I don't know. Yeah, go first.
All right. I love both of these.
No, you do.
If I could adopt them both, I would have them both. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give a point to Bessie. You know, one, I don't want Bessie going down without a fight here. But also, I think like that hometown pride's a little close. And we did an episode on Bessie.
We did.
That Yeti, though, man, it's a close. I'd say it is like 1 percentage point up. Like, it is a 50-50 battle. Flip it a coin. I think I'm going to go Bessie here. Give Bessie at least a little love and a point. But
that's why I said it was just a slight inch out with Yeti for me.
I think anyone else inside of the bracket we've seen, Yeti beats clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to play tiebreaker here. Oh, God, this is tough. All right. Because the Yeti has never sank a sailboat, I'm going Bessie.
Oh! Upset, I would say.
I have to go.
You know what?
I want to believe in Bessie so bad. I do believe in Bessie. I think that the name needs to be way better than Bessie because her cousin's Nessie. But God, it's tough, but give me the shores of Old Lake Otter.
You know what? I'll say that's a controversial pick. Bessie making it out of this side of the bracket. If you guys disagree with what we picked,
shove it.
Put in the comment.
Just kidding.
Put who you think should make it. But we said Bessie's moving on. First matchup.
Oh, no.
Other side of the bracket.
I feel way less bad for choosing. Okay, here we go.
We've got Sasquatch, a.k.a. Bigfoot, taking on the Flatwoods Monster. This is definitely a fun and tough start to the side of the bracket here. Tyler, let's go ahead. It looks like you've made your mind up already.
Sasquatch, dude. All day. Local.
I love it.
Yeah. What's not to love about the Sasquatch? He's like the best. He's the North America, close, you know, where we live. He's the better Yeti.
He's the Betty Yeti.
The Betty Yeti. There you go. Yeah, I'm going Sasquatch, man.
Sasquatch could win this whole half of the bracket
here. I would be.
I feel like this is, if we seeded it like NCAA, he's the number one seed probably.
Yeah, and he's number two.
You're crying almost. What are your thoughts over here?
I love Sasquatch. You know, Andrew's known me. We've known each other and been best friends since we were like 4 or 5 years old. So we've known each other forever. You know, I love Bigfoot. But at the same time, I'm really hard pressed not to give some love. Only because it is the weirdest alien sighting in America. And it is like accepted to be alien. And aliens are my, like, love. I love two types of cryptids in particular, and then the rest, you know, there's Bigfoot and Nessie that are, like, really top tier. But it's werewolves and it's aliens. It's extraterrestrials. I don't want it to be a clean sweep. So you know my vote.
He's going Flatwoods.
Tyler,
I'm sorry, but Sasquatch is moving on to the next round.
No. That's
fair. I didn't want it to be a clean sweep. That was my thing. I'll say the Flatwoods Monster is also the inspiration for the aliens in Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Like, legitimately, they took them and just made them enemies in the game.
Well, I've never played this before, though. Sam Squanch is.
Yep. And I love, too, that the government, you know, cover up for Flatwoods Monster was saying it was a missile test or a nuclear missile test. Yeah. It's like, no. No, bud.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with that, the Flatwoods Monster story, it is absolutely just ridiculous and fun all around.
Next time we do a cryptid run,
we're definitely going to talk about it. Yeah,
but Bigfoot, moving on.
Bigfoot, yeah, I knew it was going to move on.
The quarterfinals.
Yeah, I knew it was moving on. I just couldn't.
Woggle versus, I got to get the pronunciation, Mokele Bembe from Africa.
Yes.
For those that don't know, Mokele is literally just a brontosaurus that lives in the Congo rivers.
Yep.
Is basically what that is.
Hmm.
It's a living dinosaur.
It is. So I'm going to go first. You know, as much as I love dinosaurs and Jurassic Park, you know, I'm going to go woggle. It's, you know, we just spent half an hour, 45 minutes talking about the go woggle.
I'm going to Mgembe.
Oh,
I love dinosaurs.
Tyler. River dinosaur in the Congo or the Gawoggle?
Dude, I love dinosaurs too. I grew up going to the Buffalo Zoo and, you know, doing the whole paleontology dig for bones. I love dinosaurs. But I don't believe that they're still around. Give me the Gawoggle, baby. Let's go.
All right. See you, Mokele. Gawoggle. Coming up. This is horseshit.
Oh.
Loch Ness Monster vs. Mothman. Fudge!
Oh, no. Oh, he's torn.
No! And I couldn't see what the next matchup is. Damn it! You couldn't have split these two up, Brack. Oh! Oh! Oh, Tyler, you go first. I can't even fathom this stupid one.
All right. So I've put together a couple terrible strain of thoughts. And I'm pretty sure everyone's going to disagree with me by the end of all this, especially, you know, whatever. But I am, just based on lore, and obviously Nessie is iconic as a cryptid can possibly get. But I love the story of the Mothman. I think everything that he does and represents and, you know, everything. Just, I'm Mothman.
All right, we got one vote, Mothman. Alex?
Do you know what my vote's going to be?
Probably Nessie.
It's Nessie.
This is the hardest matchup for me because these are my top two favorite cryptids. Mm-hmm. I told the story last season about how the only book I would check out from our school library was the discovery book on Nessie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. This is stupid. But
you're doing?
I think I gotta go Mothman. I am torn. I don't even want to vote. Like, this is. I'm gonna give it to Mothman, though. On a very, very, very slight edge. And both creatures, amazing. But like Tyler said, I think the legends and stories surrounding Mothman and the Mothman movie, I think give Mothman just the slightest edge. And it doesn't help people shit all over Nessie for, you know, being real or fake, too. That kind of makes Mothman more standing up a little bit. And
yeah, right.
The butt on statue is very nice.
The what?
So, the butt on the Mothman statue is very nice. You got a firm butt.
Yeah, he's got a dump. It's nice.
So, I'm gonna go Mothman. I am sorry, Nessie. You would win any other matchup here.
Nessie versus Bigfoot. I don't know if she wins that one.
That's the Thunderbird and the Ninjin. If you don't know what the Ninjin is, it is basically the front half of a whale on legs.
He's what?
It is the front half of a whale on legs.
The front
is what the Ninjin is.
What part of the whale? It's a ball with legs.
Yeah. Yep. It's like a walking snowball. It is
It's a
snowball. A very strange, very odd creature. If you want some weird history, look up the Ninjin and the people that, you know, follow this thing.
That believe in it? Oh my god.
Yep. It's a pretty easy vote for me. I'm going Thunderbird. I mean, it's a giant bird. They're all over the world, including here in Pennsylvania. Some people say they're pterodons, actually. But, you know, debatable on that. But, you know, I definitely got to say Thunderbird on this one. This is one, if you put the Squonk up against the Ninjin, the Squonk wins 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
100. Yeah, without a doubt.
This is why I'm so mad that Mothman and Nessie drew each other in the first round. We got Thunderbird and the Ninjin.
We're going with Thunderbird as well. There's they named some wine after Thunderbird, so that's pretty cool. The guy's on booze. But yeah, and one of the sickest cars ever made. Hot take, but you know, love that Thunderbird.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a clean sweep, but I got to say, you know, the fact that the Thunderbird is also deeply connected to Native American mythology and various Native mythologies around the world. Gotta give it to the Thunderbird.
Every civilization has their Thunderbird.
Not every civilization has their Ninjin.
Exactly. They do. They don't usually look like that.
Not every civilization gets... Whoa! Oh, no.
Sasquatch and the Woggle.
Oh, God.
Who wants first?
Me. Biggie gets it.
Sasquatch?
I'm giving it to Sassy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Tyler?
Yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah. Sorry, Woggle.
This was a bad draw for the Woggle. You know, Sasquatch easily. Keep the brooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we do like...
It's not even to say.
Yeah, it's pretty open and close case. You know what we should do, too? Find, like, the cutest drawings of cryptids and then just put them all up against each other. And I think you'd probably get Squonk and Gawoggle headlining that show.
Squonk and Gawoggle might make it to the finals of that. So we'll do cutest cryptid bracket.
Just throw it out there.
There we go. Mothman and the Thunderbird. For me, it's easy. It's Mothman. Sorry, Thunderbirds. You don't hold a Mothman.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to the Harbinger of Doom Mothman here.
Is he the Harbinger of
Doom? I'd say Mothman bracket probably the number 3 seed. Bigfoot, Nessie 1 and 2, followed by this guy here. But Tyler, who are you going for? Mothman or Thunderbird?
Oh, that's tough for me because I really enjoy the deep meanings that animals have in Native American culture and everything else that goes along with it. Like I've read, you know, even on based on like fish I like to catch and, you know, doing some research and seeing stuff like that. Have a role in Native American culture and being from a part where, like, there's still very prominent Native American culture, like, everywhere you go in Western New York, in Buffalo, there's, you know, there's towns, the part of highway that is closest to me is the Skajakura. God, but I love the Mothman. I love the two sides of that coin. Is he the harbinger of doom, or does he just show up when something bad's about to happen and is kind of like this light to, you know, warn people? For me, this is way tougher than it is for you. Damn it. All right. I'm going Thunderbird. I got to go with Thunderbird. I know.
This is a bad tiebreaker to have, Alex.
Yes, it is, because if I even bring in my other expertise, which is Pokemon, both of them are represented in Pokemon. Thunderbird is literally Zapdos, but Mothman is the Pokemon Absol. It is literally the disaster Pokemon that shows up before disasters, and so people associate it with the harbinger of disasters, but it's really just there to try to save people because it is just always sensing it. So,
just like Mothman.
This is not an easy choice. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love Mothman and Thunderbird. I'm going to be doubly controversial and just say Sasquatch is going to be going up in the finals. So whoever wins this, I'm my vote's already for Sasquatch. Thunderbird.
Oh, bullshit. Yes, no. Good choice. There was one.
Was not
made it.
No. Thunderbird moves on against.
And you know my vote is already Sasquatch. So I love all of these that have been on this side, except for weird little snowman, whale ball. This was a very tough decision across the board. But like I said, my vote's already Sasquatch.
Bad draw for Mothman.
Mothman.
Tyler, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I think Sasquatch is like the OG cryptid, dude. I think not actually, like in times of like, you know, years and everything. He's just the most popular. And
most well known.
You know, he is that's tough. This is way tougher for me than it was because of everything I mentioned going back to the last round with the Thunderbird and Moffy. Oh, God. I'm going to go with the master of hide and seek, Sasquatch.
Boys, keep the brooms because it's a sweep. It would be.
That's.
You know, I did have to debate this one a little bit because, like you guys said, the mythology and everything around the Thunderbird's so cool. But I love Sasquatch. You know, he's A1, and I'm still pissed at the Thunderbird for beating Mothman. So, no, Sasquatch.
You're voting from your heart now. It's a bad place to vote from.
No, but I mean, Sasquatch was going to take this one anyways. It's
it's
Sasquatch. It's Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot.
But this brings us to a real tough finals, people.
I hope
Bessie and Sasquatch.
I hope listening. That's tough. That's also tough. I hope everyone listening and watching on YouTube can hear the strain in our voices, so it doesn't seem like Sasquatch was just, the clear front runner for all of us from the get-go. This was very difficult.
It is, and this one is tough. Bessie took out the Yeti. Could you imagine Yeti versus Sasquatch here in the finals?
Oh, Sasquatch, I think.
You know, Bessie here taking on Sasquatch.
Bessie in the finals.
Both Bessie, is the epitome of hometown pride here. But to be fair, Sasquatch is around Pennsylvania, New York, and Ohio as well. So they both have the same stomping grounds.
Kind of. Bessie kind of splashes in the water.
Oh, man, I don't know. Oh, this is tough trying to vote between the heart and the brain. Because the heart says Bessie, the brain says Sasquatch is the problem here. All right, for myself here, I'll go first. I'm going to frame it as, which cryptid would I want to see more? You know, if I'm finding one of these, I think I got to vote Sasquatch there. You know, the fame, the notoriety of Sasquatch itself.
Oh, see that?
You know, seeing this peaceful giant. I'm sorry, you know, help bring Bessie to the finals here, but I think I got to go with my vote Sasquatch. Even now, I want to recant my vote and go Bessie, though, so this is not easy.
This isn't easy. Alex, go first. I can't think right now. Oh, God.
I'm going to wait for Tyler's choice.
Okay.
I have an idea.
All right.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Before giving your vote, take my vote away. I'll figure my vote out here in a sec. Tyler, give your argument for voting for either one of these, but don't say who you vote for.
Okay, so I'm going to go along. I really like your idea of which one would I rather see. And for me, that right there, that train of thought is enough for me to lean heavy one way.
All right. Alex, what's your thought process or argument here for either one, but don't say your vote? I have already double thought my vote and kicked it back out because I have no idea. But Alex, what's your argument for each one or your thought process here?
My thought process here is that both of these cryptids have a special place not only in my heart, but in history's heart. And all I'm going to say regarding my own thought process on this is, unfortunately, there is one clear winner in my mind, and it's not the one that my heart wants to go with.
All right. So this is what we are going to do. I'm going to count backwards from 3 to 1. After I get to 1, we're all just going to say our answers.
Yeah, I like it.
And if we don't hear what each other all say, then we'll say them individually. But here we go. I am so nervous and upset at the thought of one of these not winning. But for the greatest cryptid of all time, 3, 2, 1,
Sasquatch.
Oh, Bessie got a vote at least.
Bessie got a vote, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was
because
not easy at all.
It's not easy at all, but you said I would rather be on my boat in Lake Erie looking down in the middle of a fishing trip and seeing a sea monster than walking, not taking anything away from Sasquatch. Love them. Better name than Yeti all day. But I think, I would rather be on the water in my boat fishing and seeing a dark cloud and wondering what was that, rather than walking through the woods and being like, oh, it's kind of freaky, huh? You know?
No, there's no wrong answer here, because either one I would be thrilled to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think what gave Bigfoot the slight edge to me is my entire life people making fun of me for believing in Bigfoot. So I think, to me, I'd prefer to see a Bigfoot just to have that in my mind of, well, at least those guys were just dumb assholes. Which they are, but...
They are, anyway.
Hello. Yeah, a little personal vindication there. Alex, anything you want to say here between these two behemoths? I would say for sure, 100% Bessie was an underdog. That was a Cinderella story to get to the finals.
And I
was thinking about that. That's why.
Yeah.
And we were saying the countdown of best cryptid ever. They're counterintuitive arguments.
Uh-huh.
But between the two, because I don't think Bessie is the best cryptid ever. But I would rather see Bessie out of any other ones mentioned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn it, that's tough.
That's what made that the difficult choice. was, yes, absolutely. My heart wanted to go to Bessie, but my brain said Bigfoot is unfortunately the most popular cryptid of all time.
100%. And I mean, I don't, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh man, Bessie just got here because of matchups, but it didn't. Chupacabra and Yeti were both tough, they were tough victories for Bessie.
Yeah, I know. I voted against Bessie in both of them.
And on the other side, you know, Sasquatch, it didn't have a very easy path to the finals here either. I know we got the sweep there in the end, but I just, not an easy bracket here at all.
Yeah.
I definitely, I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, would you guys be open to more brackets in the future?
Oh, yeah.
Open another brick.
So, I'm going to do a reset here. I wonder. We're not going to go through it again. But different matchups this time. Sheepman, Thunderbird. Bessie and the Frogman, Bessie. Let's see. The Ninjin and Chupacabra. Chupacabra. Nessie and Gawoggle. Nessie. Let's see. Jersey Devil and Mekele Membe.
Jersey Devil.
Yeah. Sasquatch and Flatwood Monsters still.
Sasquatch.
Yeti and Mothman.
Mothman.
I'd say Mothman still.
Alright. I know Yeti, but hey, I digress.
Squonk and the Otter.
Squonk.
Yeah, Squonk.
Fuck that otter.
Thunderbird and Bessie. I'd probably go Bessie.
Yeah.
I'd probably go Bessie again. Still that localized cryptid love.
Chupacabra and Nessie, I'd go Nessie.
Really? I think I'd go Chupacabra.
I'm on the fence. I'd probably default to Nessie, but yeah, that's a not an easy one.
That's tough.
And then on the other side we had the Squonk and Mothman. I'd go Mothman.
Yeah, Mothman. Yeah. Pretty easy.
And Bigfoot.
Bigfoot and Jersey Devil. Bigfoot wins all the time.
Bigfoot, yeah.
Which brings us to an interesting semifinals. Bessie versus Nessie. That's actually one of our shirts. Bessie, not Nessie.
Give me Bessie. I go Bessie. The original sucks anyway. Give me...
To be fair, I'd probably go Bessie as well.
Just kidding. The original doesn't suck. Just hometown pride, that's all. Home Lake pride.
It's not an easy one. Would you probably go Nessie in that one?
I would go Nessie, but I understand the Bessie. Like I said, it's the hometown pride where I'm like, oh, 100% Bessie, but it's like Nessie has that original stomping power that makes me go, yeah.
So Mothman and Bigfoot.
That's a harder one for me.
I'd go Mothman.
Really?
I would. I like Mothman more than Bigfoot. It's a slight edge. I like Mothman's story.
I still find myself on Bigfoot's side, but that is a harder matchup.
Same here. I'm going Bigfoot.
Which brings us to the same exact finals.
So the finals were always doomed to be this, but yeah.
Bessie and Bigfoot.
It's a clear... Like, they were the clear front runners of their sides. It was difficult. It was not an easy matchup. And even if it had been Nessie versus Bigfoot, I think our winner is, you know, still pretty obvious.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think here, Bigfoot still wins slightly. Maybe, you know, out of 100 times, maybe Bigfoot wins 51, Nessie wins 49, maybe it's 50-50. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Bigfoot ever blows out of the water.
No, but it's always going to be a fight, and it's always going to be those two with this particular bracket.
I thought that was fun.
The blast.
We'll have to make more brackets for our Christmas cryptids, cryptid.
Here's a question. Does Yeti fall into Christmas cryptids? He's from the Himalayan mountains where it's snowy.
I would say yes.
I'd say yes because Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer has the abominable snowman.
Fuck yeah, exactly. Or is he a separate cryptid? Abominable snowman versus Yeti.
There we go.
The world is our oyster. The cryptid universe is our oyster.
It is most definitely our cryptid oyster. Oh my god.
Frosty.
That's
no beast.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love the Gawoggle. I think the bracket was heartbreaking at times, for sure. But fantastic time all around. Fellas, any final thoughts on the Gawoggle or our first ever cryptid bracket?
Yeah. So, Gawoggle, clearly, as if you go back and go through the whole episode, a lot of love from us. We love the Gawoggle. We love the design of the Gawoggle, and we're here for them. So keep being the Gawoggle. As far as the bracket, also a whole lot of fun, and I'm glad we did that, because like last time when we did the Create a Cryptid, this was just as fun. I like this kind of little additional stuff. This has been fun. So that's my two cents.
Yep.
I agree. And like, I like playing the games, breaking things up a little bit. I'm going to come up with more games here. Not going to lie, the Cryptid Royale we did on the Squonks episode and this one were kind of based off a couple of games they play on the Wild Times podcast. So if you like outdoor stuff and nature, check them out. But, you know, put some twists on there. And I really enjoyed them. Tyler, throwing it over to you.
That was just good, clean, cryptid fun. All across the board.
Good, clean, cryptid fun.
Yep.
I like it.
Now, I do too. And we're definitely going to do more games. We're going to fish more games out. Maybe we'll do brackets with ghost stories. Maybe we'll do it with our own episodes. You never know what I got cooking.
Episode tier list. Oh, God.
But I think that does it for today in the Gawoggle, our bracket challenge. If you enjoyed this episode, like, share, subscribe. Let us know what you thought of the bracket. Did you agree with our choices? Would you vote differently? Is Bessie and Bigfoot your final two? Who's the last one standing? Let us know if you think we're full of shit on our picks.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know.
Call us out on it.
We love it. You know, comments anywhere, send emails, messages, do whatever you want to do. We had fun with this. We'll be back for more from all of us here at Who's Ghost Stories. Stay in the light
and stay woggly.
Stay woggly.